What's up, Jazz Nation? How you doing? My name is Brian Gonzalez, Jazz super fan. Welcome to the October 26th edition of All That Jazz. And if you like me, you're still buzzing about last night. Can you believe the regular season has started? The Jazz end up losing their season opener to the Portland Trail Blazers, 113-104. But do I sound like a sad person to you? No, because I'm not. That was an absolutely fantastic basketball game. Oh my, it was so entertaining from so many points of view. I'm just buzzing. But there's some ugly things I want to get out of the way first. I thought Boris Diaw was bad, and I thought he was bad all night. If I'm honest, I mean, this is no indictment against Boris Diaw. I still really love Boris Diaw and what he brings to the Jazz. I just thought last night was a horrific matchup for him. And then the failure to recognize that and stick with him by the coaching staff, I thought was just a gigantic mistake, and one that honestly I think ended up costing him the game. There were moments throughout the game where I felt that maybe Quinn Snyder is just overcoaching just a bit. Now, this is an indictment against Coach Snyder. I love Coach Snyder. I love what Coach Snyder's brought to the team. But just, you know, hear me out a little bit. His only coaching experience before this was in college, and that's where coaches really can put a footprint on the game. And he's been brought in by the Jazz for a young team, and he's had more of an impact than I think he would have with a veteran team. Now that the pendulum is kind of switching, I feel like he's just overreaching just a little bit. He did a great job making adjustments, especially in the second half, going to Joe Johnson down low. But I feel like there are times when he just gets, I don't want to say outcoached, but maybe he just kind of he overthinks things. He overcoaches. He doesn't let things kind of happen naturally. And you see that, I think, in times when, like, oh, I'm just going to stick with Boris Diaw, when he is just absolutely getting torched all game long. And then there was this weird timeout at the end in the third quarter when we were on a huge run and all the momentum was in our favor, and he made this weird timeout. And I remember messaging my friends like, did we just call that timeout? So, yeah, okay, Jazz called that timeout, and we stopped our own momentum. That makes total sense. There was just a couple things that had my head scratched. And sticking with Boris Diaw was the biggest one. So, this is a new team. That was probably the ugliest part of the game. That, and then along with the bench, just did not play very well, which is weird to me because they got a ton of time together to play in the preseason, but last night just looked not good. They just looked disembobulated and were just kind of what put us in a hole to fight back from to begin with. But I'll get to a positive about that later, but Joe Ingles, I love Joe Ingles, but it seemed like he wasn't really there last night. Jeff Withey did not play particularly well. Trey Lyles, I thought, never got a fair shake. The thing with Trey is I feel like he can be a rhythm player much more than a streak player, and I feel like he needs time on the floor to kind of get into his rhythm. And he never really got that last night, which I was a bit disappointed in, especially because Diaw was getting smoked all game and just it was not a good matchup for him. I figure at least put Trey's athleticism on the floor and shooting. That's one thing I was really disappointed in. I wish Trey had got more run. And then Dante Exum listen, it is first regular season game since his rookie season. So let's not freak out. However, for 98% of the game, I feel like he looked uncomfortable, and I feel like he was scared out there. And it's his first game. He's dipping his toe back in the water, but it's dipping your toe back in with Damian Lillard out on the floor. So there were two drives where he just went mega super aggressive that got me so excited that he went to the hole hard. One, he got an and one on. The other one, he went up against two guys, kind of threw up a weird shot, but ended up getting his own rebound and putting it back in. So those two plays were the flashes that we hope to see more of. But other than that, he only played 8 minutes. I think the Lakers game, it will be a really, really good time to let him kind of break into things. But speaking of Damian Lillard, oh my goodness. The Jazz cannot guard Damian Lillard. But last night, I don't know who can guard Damian Lillard. That dude was amazing. I mean, it took – here's where we can start swapping over to the positive, because there was a lot of positive. I know I went on a little bit about the negatives, but the positives are everything that we hope this team would be, we saw last night. And Jazz fans should be just so pumped, because that was – you guys, you break it down, that was a fantastic basketball game. It really didn't look like both teams were, you know, first game of the regular season. That felt like – a really important game to both teams, and it was so fun to watch. But Damian Lillard is just incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible. It took a Herculean performance from Damian Lillard, an MVP-like performance, if you will, 39 points to put the Jazz away at home in the home opener. I want you to think about that. And that's without the Jazz top two players. Okay? Damian Lillard was insane. Rudy Gobert is the best rim protector in the league. I'm convinced of it. And Lillard went right at him and won every single time. It was something incredible to see. One thing I feel like the Jazz need to figure out is they need to figure out a way to slow that high pick and roll with Rudy down, because George Hill's a fantastic player, but it's not his fault when he gets picked and is playing catch up behind Lillard, and the bigs can't slow Lillard down. The coaches are going to have to figure that out. Speaking of George Hill, that's another positive. George Hill was amazing last night. He was so good. Watching him play point guard for the Utah Jazz is something we have not seen since in his prime, Deron Williams. It was so awesome. It was so great. And the calmness and the execution of which he had, he knew when to push the ball. He shot the ball fairly well all night, except for, I would say, in the fourth quarter. But, there was a time in the fourth quarter. I think we were up 102-99. Or 101-99, I can't remember, but I think this shot really could have put a ton of pressure on them, on Portland. Joe Johnson gets double teamed in the post, kicks it out to George Hill for a wide open corner three, and he bricks it. And he actually missed, I think, his next two shots, which really kind of buried the Jazz. But at that point, I feel like he was so tired from chasing Lillard around that his legs might have just been gone. So watching George Hill just gave me so much hope and excitement. Oh my gosh, I need myself a George Hill jersey now. In fact, me and my friends were texting, you guys know Drew, he does a podcast with me also. I was messaging with him like, dude, we need to find George Hill jerseys just so we can have them. Another jersey that we need is Joe Johnson, because Joe Johnson, holy crap. I mean, is this 2006? Because Joe Johnson in the first half had 2 points. Second half, 29 points, 27 points, and finished with 29 total. That is incredible for a guy that is supposed to be a role player coming off the bench and spelling our guys. I mean, in the third quarter and fourth quarter, it was Joe Johnson on the block just bullying people, getting exactly where he wanted to be, and then making whatever move and making a shot. And then on the other end, it was Damian Lillard going back and forth. And it was so fun to watch. It was amazing. In addition to Joe Johnson, Rodney Hood played so well. He's so well. He was so good. And unfortunately, well, there was a scary moment in the game. Rodney kind of comes off of a pick, but catches a dude's foot and rolls his ankle, and I don't think he scored after that. He stayed in the game and played, which props to him. I'm proud of him for, you know, for gutting it out and playing, but that obviously affected him, and I don't remember him scoring after that. So that obviously had an impact on the game. But Rodney ends up with 26 points, going 9 for 17, 3 for 7 from 3, 5 for 5 from the free throw line, which is really encouraging. The sign is pointing really up for Rodney Hood. And his dunk, oh my God, his dunk was amazing. I mean, Joe Ingles gets caught with the ball at the high post and had picked up his dribble, didn't know what to do. Rodney back cuts. Joe finds him with the bounce pass, and Rodney just crams it. Oh, it was so great. I went nuts, and my wife got upset because I scared our cats. Oh, that was so good. I'm pumped. Pumped for Rodney Hood, pumped for Joe Johnson, George Hill, and then final talking point I think has to be Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is going to ball this season. I think a double-double to him is going to be so easy. He grabs 14 boards last night, gets 12 points, and 4 for 4 from the free throw line. Rudy is so good, and I love his edge. The thing about Rudy this year, I feel like, and he needs to be the prototype. Every coach that has a player that can't shoot free throws needs to go, Rudy Gobert was a 50% free throw shooter last year, and then you look to this year. What has he done? He shot mid-70s, I think, in the preseason, and he made 4 for 4 last night. He's going to be – if he's going to be a 70% free throw shooter, he's going to average 12 to 14 points a game, and he's going to get over 10 rebounds a game. He's going to be awesome, guys. I'm so excited. There are so many positives from last night that the loss I could care less about. It was a tough ask to go on the road – up to Portland, where they play really well. In fact, I think I saw something that they had the best. They play the best at home. They have the biggest discrepancy between home wins and road wins of any other team. So Portland plays great at home. We're going up there. New team without your best two players in Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward. And you lose by 9, which is an inflated score because that game was close all game long. I mean, it was incredible, incredible performance. I couldn't be more proud of these guys. I'm stoked for Friday because I think we're going to thrash the Lakers at home in the home opener, and it's a blowout. So please, I beg of you, the University of Utah can get its blackout and do it well. Whenever BYU tries to do something like that, it doesn't really go so well. So I hope to high heavens that Jazz fans really show up in blue, because I think it'll look awesome and really get the guys going, because I think they're going to smash LA. I really do. And I am hoping to see Derek Favors. From what I'm hearing, he's been slowly working his way back. He started practicing, I think, over last weekend, and he was close, I think, to playing in Portland. He said he felt better. So I'm hoping that he gets on the floor, gets some minutes, and starts to work his way back into the lineup, because the Jazz really missed him last night. I think if either Gordon Hayward or Derek Favors plays last night, we win. I mean, think about that, okay? Damian Lillard was MVP-esque, and it was a Herculean effort from him. And if we had had either of our two players, and if we had both of them, I think we win that game pretty handily. I'm super, super excited. This is a quick episode. I know I haven't done one in a while, but I was just so excited. I got home from work, and I grabbed my mic, and instead of going to the gym, I wanted to get a podcast out. So I think that's it for today. Please go over iTunes, subscribe there. You can subscribe on any other Android podcatcher, and leave a rating if you wouldn't mind. I know this is super quick. It wasn't really prepped. I was just thinking about it all day, and I wanted to get it online. I've been talking to people. I know the buzz is real. I've been really surprised about the positivity. Usually you have people freak out over a loss, but I think Jazz fans get it. I think they saw what I saw, and only a few negatives, you know, and I think the Jazz will fix those. So the arrow is pointed directly up. The Jazz are going to be really, really good. I feel super validated. Oh, and by the way, I kind of called Golden State, just saying. They're still going to be the one seed. I'm not saying that, guys. Golden State ends up losing by 30 last night to the Spurs. One, it proves the Spurs are good. We knew that. And I think it proves that what we were saying on this podcast, that the chemistry is going to be fine, but their bench depth is going to hurt them. They have no inside game. And not having Andrew Bogut there, it's gonna be an adjustment. They're still going to be awesome, but it's going to be an adjustment, and the Spurs are really good. But Golden State's still really good, so there's that too. I'm not saying that. Anyway, I'm out of here. I got to go to Rodizio Grill. My wife's texting me. I will catch you next time. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of All That Jazz. See ya.